to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, October 29th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
I know that God has a sense of humor, but the timing today to have our stewardship sermon, you know, the time when I get out and twist all your arms to give more money, that should fall on the same week that the heat went out in the church is kind of funny. It's almost as if God is saying, pledge more or no heat for you, right? No, that's not how it works. You know, I do think we face always challenges in our life together. Always there are challenges in our personal lives, challenges in our, you know, societal life, challenges in our church life. And those challenges are always accompanied, in my experience, with blessings. And we know this when we look back at our scriptures. We know that challenge, you know, it would be wonderful if the scriptures just told the perfect stories of perfect people living a perfect life with God. But that is not what's in the scripture. What the scripture has is real people facing impossible challenges and then finding the blessing of God. We've been following the story of Moses. This brings to a conclusion Moses' story. This is Moses' death. And Moses faced challenges that were insurmountable. You know, when he met God in the burning bush and God said, I want you, Moses, to face down the most powerful empire in the world. I want you to defeat that army, and I want you to take these slaves, my people, the Hebrews, and I want you to bring them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and I want you to lead them into a desert where there's no food or water, and you're going to keep them alive for 40 years, and then they're going to get to go to the Promised Land. So it's no surprise that Moses' answer to that was, oh, heck no. No way, that's impossible. I am not the right guy for this. I can't speak well. I don't have the faith. I mean, there's no way I can do this. Besides the fact that Moses was a murderer. He was the least likely person. And yet, he had faith in God. And despite the impossible odds, he was faithful. He obeyed God, and God provided the blessings. God provided the miracles that convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. God parted the Red Sea so that the people could escape the Egyptian army. God even provided water in a dry and barren desert. God provided manna from heaven to feed the people. And when the people complained about the manna, God provided quails. At every turn, when things seemed impossible, God provided the blessing. It was that way for St. Paul. St. Paul, again, the least likely person to be the greatest evangelist of the Christian church. Paul, a zealous persecutor of Christians, the one who held the coats when Stephen, the first deacon, was martyred and stoned to death, who cheered on the crowds. Paul, who was arrogant and obstinate, who had a thorn in the flesh, who, by all accounts, was impossible to work with, went through co-workers like crazy. This man, Paul, persisted because he had faith, because he was obedient to God's call, and God provided the blessings. God helped him to preach to Gentiles and to bring reconciliation between Gentiles and Jewish Christians, to convince the church to come together at every turn through shipwrecks and imprisonments and beatings. Paul was faithful and God provided the blessings. When I look at my own life, I think about the ways in which challenges have always been met with blessings. This week, not only did we not have heat in the church, but we had no clean water at our house because of the boil water advisory. And with kids and a dog and busy lives, that was a challenge. But God provides so many rich blessings. I was thinking about the ways in which our minor inconvenience this week cannot hold a candle to the challenges that the people of Puerto Rico have been facing, the people of Houston, the people of Florida, people throughout the world who don't have the great privilege of being able to turn on a tap and having clean water. I think about the people of Flint who have endured so much trying to recover a sense of security and safety and health. I want to tell a story, a money story, about challenges and blessings. God doesn't always work this directly, but I love this story. I told it to the search committee, and I have to share it with you. Back in 1995, I was newly married. I'd been a priest for about 3 years, and in my first church, they would deduct money from my paycheck and send it to the IRS, so I never had to think about it. But when we got married, and I was a priest in a little mission church, they didn't do that. And we went to the first time to get our taxes done from a guy who could help us. And we went and we got everything straightened out. Okay, we're just fine. Until we met with him before the taxes were going to be filed. And he said, "And of course you have been putting aside quarterly estimated tax payments, right?" And I said, the what now? We owed $5,000 to the IRS on April 15th, and we had $215 in our checking account. You see, we'd spent the money. We didn't know we were supposed to be putting that aside. It just happened magically. Well, I had the first, not the last, but the first of my adult nights, you probably had these too, where you're lying in bed and you're memorizing every spot on the ceiling. All through the night, I was worrying and worrying, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay this tax bill? We're going to get thrown in jail. That's the end of my ministry. We're done. I didn't even know you could actually, you know, get an extension. I didn't know any of that stuff. But I was just sweating bullets. So the next day, I'm just praying hard, God, I don't know what to do. And that afternoon, I went down as usual to pick up the mail, and there was a letter from an attorney. But, oh, what now? You know, this tax bill, and now I got something from an attorney. What's going to happen? Well, I open it up, and it was from my great aunt's attorney. I'd been one of the executives of her, you know, small estate. The other thing I didn't realize was when everything was wrapped up, there's residual money, and it gets divided according to however she had decided. So my cousin and I got the residual amount. There was a check in that envelope for, guess how much?
$5,000.
Exactly $5,000. Now, I saw that as divine intervention. You could say, oh yeah, that's coincidence. But for me, it was such a reminder, the most direct I've ever had in my life, that God, when there are challenges, God always provides the blessing. Now, God doesn't always write a check, right? It's not always that kind of blessing, but the blessings are always there if we can see them. We had an experience this month here at St. Philip's that reminded me a little bit of that story. It's one of the reasons I wanted to tell it. As many of you know, our dear, dear friend, Dwayne Hull, died this past week. He had surgery. He came through the surgery okay, but the surgery itself put such stress on his body that he was not able to recover and died, really from complications from his lungs and his heart. Dwayne was a quiet, wonderfully gentle person. He was a key part of this church. He was a treasurer here for many years, a faithful part of our 8 o'clock service. And some of you may know, but not all of you, that Dwayne also provided 25%, or just under, of our pledging budget. Dwayne was incredibly generous. You know, he grew up on a farm, very poor. He became a school teacher and then a superintendent. Later in his life, he went into investment management, I think, and did very well. But he gave so generously from his means. I asked him when I first visited him in February, you know, how are you able to do this? And he said, Eric, I give because when I give, I am blessed. When I give, I'm blessed. And the more I give, he said, the more I am blessed. So I just can't help it. I have to give. And boy, did he give over the years, being such a generous supporter of this church. Dwayne is an inspiration to me because of that spirit of connecting generosity to blessing. I do believe that's the way it works. Again, it's not always a check. But, you know, we're going to have challenges. We have the challenge of our deferred maintenance here at church, the 7 units on the ceiling. 2 of them went out. That's why the church has no heat. And we've got a lot of other deferred maintenance issues in this church that we'll have to face. We've looked at them. The vestry's been very diligently examining those. We have now the challenge of trying to live up to Dwayne's generosity and to fill that big hole in our budget. But I have such confidence that God will bless us and is blessing us. It happens financially. We got notification that another parishioner who I never met, a man named Gordon Case, anybody know Gordon? Gordon came here and passed away last fall, I believe. And we got a notification that he had indicated that St. Philip's would be one of the beneficiaries of his will and didn't think much more about it. Well, this fall, we got a letter from his attorney, and I don't want to count. You know how the old saying about counting chickens? You have to be very careful about that. But it could be, I was thinking maybe $1,000. It could be as much as $200,000 that he left this church. Now, I haven't seen the check yet. They're still going through all the rest of the probate. God provides blessings when God gives us challenges. Sometimes those are financial blessings, but I want to point to some other blessings that I am seeing here at St. Philip's. You know, I was very prayerful when I met with the search committee last fall, really looking hard at what God was calling me to do, and I felt such a sense of the Holy Spirit in each one of the conversations that we had. I said, God has some purpose for this church. God has some great things in store for St. Philip's, and I want to get in on that. I want to be part of this congregation here at the corner of Rochester and Romeo Roads. This wonderful location, this core of faithful people, this amazing opportunity right here in Rochester to be ambassadors of Christ. I felt that then, and I feel it today. I see it in the new visitors and new members that are coming to this church. I see it in the new spirit and the new energy that we have, the new programs that are coming along, the new ways that we're getting involved in our wider community. I feel that God is even now blessing us for more wonderful challenges ahead. More wonderful challenges and more wonderful blessings. If we can be like Moses, not perfect. If we can be like St. Paul, not perfect, but faithful. Doing what we can with what we have to be faithful to God's call. That's all that God asks. We don't have to figure out the solutions to all the problems. We have to put one foot in front of the other, being faithful with what we have in the ways that we are able to meet the challenges that God gives us by taking hold of the blessings, the abundant blessings that God gives us. Each one of us today can tell stories of the ways that God has blessed us. And I hope we'll share those stories with each other. As we move through this stewardship campaign and into this next year of our ministry together, I expect wonderful and great things for St. Philip's Church. And I'm so grateful to be here with each one of you to see what God will do next. Amen.
Amen. Amen.